This is Your Ag Today, produced by the American Ag Network. I'm your host, Jesse Allen, reporting. Senator Debbie Stabenow of Michigan will soon be returning to her former position as chair of the Senate Ag Committee, and she's not wasting any time. Stabenow has already been in contact with Ranking Member John Boozman of Arkansas to address agriculture's challenges, particularly on trade.
I've talked with a new U.S. trade rep that has been nominated. I'm confident that they are committed to a stable, open trade policy. They understand we're in a global economy. They understand that agriculture needs trade, needs markets. I feel confident moving forward, even though there's a lot of work to do, that we'll be able to stabilize and create a more consistent trading situation.
Additionally, Stabenow hopes to provide agriculture with more certainty, stability, and finding avenues to grow.
Frankly, government shouldn't be in the business of deciding what to plant and who's profitable, which unfortunately has been happening in the last few years. We've seen more than $50 billion in aid in ad hoc payments replace markets as the major driver of farm profitability. And we can't sustain that. I know our farmers don't want that. And so I expect a different approach under the Biden administration.
Another priority of the committee under the Biden administration is combating the climate crisis. Stabenow expects that the administration will recognize what agriculture is already doing and to make any programs producer-friendly and flexible.
When we look at sort of the framework for how we could create a voluntary carbon market and a new revenue source, which is very doable, and I hope we can move forward quickly to begin to get things in place. We have a bipartisan framework, a growing Climate Solutions Act that I'm authoring with Senator Mike Braun, my friend from Indiana.
And Stabenow's final priority is preparing for the 2023 Farm Bill.
I want to make sure the next one has Michigan on every page again. And we're going to be spending a lot of time looking at the effectiveness of what we have done and how we can expand on that. Or if it hasn't worked, then we shouldn't do it.
Stabenow adds that Secretary Tom Vilsack has a vision to get agriculture back on track when he returns to his former post at USDA. Farm Bureau named the 2021 Farm Dog of the Year during the American Farm Bureau Federation virtual annual convention. The winner this year is an Australian Shepherd owned by New York Farm Bureau member Sonia Galley.
The winner this year is Bindi, and she is a 5-year-old Australian Shepherd. She was actually born here on the farm, so it's really exciting because I've been able to watch her grow and develop from day one. It's humbling in one sense and just really exciting in another to be recognized. It's just great that other people are able to see what a great dog she is.
Farm Bureau launched the contest 3 years ago to recognize the work dogs do on the farm. Galley says Bindi helps tend to livestock.
Dogs do a lot of things. If I need to move cows around, they're there to help me with that. If I need to move a group of cows, they can help do that. In the summertime when we have cows out on pasture and I go to give them grain, the dogs will push the cows off of the trough so they're not mobbing me while I'm pouring the grain out. So different things like that.
Supported by Nestle Purina Pet Care, Galley says the contest helps connect consumers with agriculture.
It's a connection factor to a lot of other people that aren't on farms. When you start talking about dogs, I think everybody can really understand that kind of relationship and they can relate to the farm dog in that way. I'm really grateful that the judges felt that we were worthy of this honor and also grateful to Farm Bureau and to Purina for sponsoring this award. It's really cool.
And you can learn more about the contest at fb.org. Increased coronavirus testing of imported meat and poultry is having a big impact on product bound for China. Since summer 2020, following outbreaks at wholesale food markets, China has been swab testing imported meat, often focusing on packaging. At first, the test only occurred at the ports and on a sample basis. But as the U.S. Meat Export Federation's Joel Haggard explains, China has now implemented new rules that all meat and poultry be tested again at inland cold storage locations and distribution centers before moving on to end users.
Following more outbreaks among port and airport workers, China then mandated that all imported meat and poultry not only had to be COVID tested, but had to undergo a disinfection procedure, also to be conducted at approved inland warehouses. China has also begun to layer on a new phone app-based traceability system requiring any party handling imported meat and poultry to scan information about the product's upstream and downstream movements.
How has all of this COVID testing and disinfection impacted the market? Haggard says the effects have really been more pronounced over the past couple of weeks.
There have been some slowdowns in product clearance at ports as product looks to find approved warehouses where it can be disinfected. And then there's been a slowdown in the movement of products as wholesalers need to get their COVID test and disinfection certificates. And we are hearing of some consumer pushback on imported meat and poultry.
Haggard added these developments are coming at an inopportune time since this is the peak meat purchasing and consumption season in China leading up to the February 12th Lunar New Year. Haggard says he's confident these hiccups are only temporary. The uprising and unrest at the nation's capital could further complicate chances for new U.S. bilateral trade deals covering agriculture, including one with close U.S. ally and ag customer, Taiwan. Taiwan is the seventh largest market for U.S. farm goods, the second biggest per capita. But U.S.-Taiwan Business Council Chief Rupert Hammond Chambers says after last week's U.S. Capitol siege and more political turmoil at home, things are not looking up for a Taiwan bilateral or any other trade deal.
The politics around pursuing a bilateral trade agreement are perhaps even more complex now than they were 6 months ago. And that's in light of President Tsai's a willingness to unilaterally undertake changes to pork and beef, which have been implemented now.
Hammond Chambers says more routine trade talks known as Trade and Investment Framework Agreement, or TIFA talks, are more likely under President Biden.
Overall, the Biden administration or the incoming Biden government has been clear that they're uninterested in bilateral trade agreements. So as a practical matter, I think the best we can hope for in the next year is a resumption of TIFA. So, we're at a very low base for whatever improvements might take place.
And with Taiwan public and commercial resistance to U.S. pork and beef treated with meat leanness additive ractopamine, not all will depend on Joe Biden, Hammond Chambers says.
And then what implementation continues to look like in Taiwan on ractopamine and pork and the changes to the beef regime.
U.S. and Taiwan leaders are increasingly pushing a bilateral deal as key to stemming China's malign behavior in the Western Pacific. U.S. farm exports to Taiwan totaled $3.6 billion in 2019. And the Masters of Beef Advocacy Program updated advocacy training modules last week called MBA Next Gen. The updates to the popular training modules make it easier for a new generation of farmers and ranchers to share their story and advocate knowledgeably for the beef industry. Updated information and resources to help answer consumer questions are all accessible within the program. MBA Next Gen continues to be a free, self-guided online course that provides farmers, ranchers, service providers, students, consumers, and all members of the beef community the tools and resources to become a beef advocate and answer tough questions about beef and raising cattle. A National Cattlemen's Beef Association spokesperson says the program is one of the most effective tools we have to teach a wide audience the core principles of the cattle industry. The program started in 2009, and to date, there are more than 15,000 graduates. To enroll or find out more about the latest Masters of Beef Advocacy Program, visit beefitswhatsfordinner.com. This has been Your Ag Today. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great day.